Hello, welcome to the Rebel Room. Ryan Green, Ron Kantowski, and Rob quitting halfway up the ramp, Mish.
Let me put some ice on my knees.
You gotta explain what happened after the game.
Well, let's start back. First of all, UNLV loses 73-69 in overtime at the Pit tonight. We will get to that in length, we promise. But first, Rob made the bet to end all bets. There was nothing on the line other than sheer pride. But he said at halftime, actually it was about the first half, that he could beat yours truly in a race up the ramp at the Pit. Which, now describe the ramp. It's about 90 yards, you assume? 80, 90 yards?
The ramp is pretty notorious. What the degrees, it's got to be at least 25%.
I don't know what the grade is, but it's a 37-foot drop from top to bottom. So if it was straight, so anyway, it's steep. It wears you out going up and going down.
It's at least 50 yards.
I'd say about 80.
And I've done it before. I've seen it before in younger days. But I thought for sure I could squeak by Mr. Ryan Green in a race after the game when everybody was gone from the bottom to the top. And at about 20 yards, I just couldn't get into that second gear. So I decided to spectate. To our good fortune, Justin Bowen, our ace photographer, stepped in. It was a three-man race. Quickly was a two-man race, and you guys needed a spectator, so that was me.
Glad you could provide something.
Well, see, from my vantage point, I thought Rob was working you two guys. If this is his plan all along, then wear you guys out, and he's going to live to run another day while you guys were huffing and puffing when he got to the top.
And you saw what he did. But first, we decided we were going to go on 1, 2, 3, go. We went on go, and all of a sudden, about 10 yards up, whoa, no, I thought we were just going on three, so we had to start over.
Young fella, it was just some gamesmanship.
Right. I got you, old lion.
All right. It's the start, man, and you guys fell for it, man, all the way up to the top.
However, speaking of the ramp, at halftime, there was someone who beat everybody else up that ramp to end the first half, and who was that? Everything looked good for him. He appeared on track. He sure looked like he had a pep in his step.
And let's not sell short his run up the ramp. He's running up him
which
and
we
dead,
have documented. Yeah. Justin documented online. You have to go to LasVegasSun.com. Well, you're already there.
Yeah, exactly. I hope you're already there.
It's a fantastic photo anyway.
Him and Daniel Ferris of New Mexico were kind of shoulder to shoulder going up. They made a little contact, and Rougeau just sprinted ahead of him. And you're thinking at that point, UNLV's up six. Life is looking good for the Rebels.
See, Mr. Rob made a good point. He said, you don't need a scoreboard to find out how things are going in the first half at the
Pit. And it's hard to find one.
You just watch. He said, the team that's behind will be walking up the ramp. The team that's ahead will be sprinting past. And I think that was indicative of, you know, Renee, he played a great first half. The Rebels played really well in the first half. They were ahead by six. They were running up the ramp. And the Lobos were kind of jogging up the ramp. Changed a little bit in the second half, however.
Well, and a lot of it changed when Rene Rougeau, I guess the key point in the game, and we're going to talk about it, with three fouls, a game that was very ticky-tack in terms of calls in the second half.
What's lots new, of, Mountain West officials? What's new?
Second time this week Rebels fans have seen that one, and who knows how many times this year, but a game with a lot of foul calls. Rougeau and Tony Danridge were going up for a rebound of a Joe Darger missed three. Kind of physical. Danridge said, looking back on it, could have gone either way. The foul call went against Rougeau. He reacted to the foul call. It sounds like he earned it. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong ref. Got a technical foul on top of it.
Because it wasn't his choice of words, but just the fact that he
actions,
was protesting it. Yeah.
Fifth foul was the technical. Took away a big inside presence at that point, had 12 points and 13 rebounds, 9 of those in the first half.
Tied a career high, 13 boards.
And really in limited duty when you look at it.
Yeah. You can look at this a lot of ways, you know. Granted, we're talking about the refs for a second consecutive game, and it just, you know what, we're not playing favorites either, you know. Here it's a second consecutive game, we're talking about the refs, just sluggish pace. And it's dictated by the refs. And it doesn't matter who wins, you know. It's just the fact that you could take these teams out to a playground and better determine who the better team was. And it's just become such a pattern in this league that it gets frustrating to watch basketball like this. Don't you think, Ron?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, you can say what you want, and it probably was the key play in the game. But, you know, heat of battle, everybody's going to act a little differently. But here's the point I like to make. Renee's been around a long time. He knows how bad the referees are like the rest of us.
Yeah, great point.
You've got to learn just to, hey, these guys aren't really, you know, what you need in a college basketball game. You got to, like he said, you got to just walk away from it. But he's, you know, he should know by now because he's seen a lot of bad calls in his 4 years.
Right. And even if it was a fringe call, even though maybe there were other stronger, more physical calls, that situations that didn't get called, the fact was it got called and he didn't need to compound it.
Right. And, you know, in the heat of battle, guys react differently, but you just can't lose. It's one thing to get beat on a backdoor cut. It's one thing to get beat if a guy's stronger than you and he gets rebounding position. It's one way to, you know, if a guy's a better three-point shooter than you, but when you lose your cool, that's a tough way to lose. And let's be honest. In a close game, you can look at any close game and find one play here, one play there, two plays here. And so maybe it's not totally fair, but that game, it was down to stretch. You know, it was a tight game. You know, you can't help but think that that was the key play in the game tonight.
Well, yeah, and, you know, to be fair, they rebounded from that, and they did have
the
lead.
They had the chance.
In regulation, they did take another lead. And, in fact, in overtime, they had the lead.
Well, and you wondered if that technical foul was going to be negated right off the bat because it happens when UNLV is up one. Chad Toppert goes to the line and hits the two technical free throws. Danridge hits the two free throws after that. And then Belfield comes down and hits a three right in the corner, guarded. 56-56, you're thinking, well, maybe they just wiped that out and it's not going to be that big a deal. But, you know, I guess the thing that we haven't mentioned yet is that Rougeau was playing, you know, so well down low with rebounds and everything, but he was really their only presence in terms of rebounding because they went small right from the start. Oscar Belfield got the start instead of Darius Santee. Santee plays 2 minutes.
We'll get to that.
Masamba plays 0 minutes.
We need to get back to that.
Just,
that's important.
It's just, and hey, it brought up memories of TCU where Santee played six, Masamba didn't play,
right,
and they lost on the road.
Well, and it's not just the rebounding. You know, we saw Rougeau was he was regaining some activity. He blocked a few shots. He was a presence down there, so that's true. On the flip side of that, you know, you still had Darger down there who knows how to play in the post from all last season. So it's not as if there was someone 6'3", 6'4", down there. So,
but see, that's a good point about the big guys because if you've got a big guy that can hold his own and play quality minutes, then you don't have that situation at the end of the game where we're losing Rougeau on a technical, which happened to be his first fifth personal. It doesn't hurt you as much. If you've got a big you can put in the game that you have confidence in. Tonight that Rebels didn't have that.
And it says something that they put Mo Rutledge in Rougeau's place instead of Darius Santee.
Well, let's take a quick look at the low post. You know, they had such a dearth of that presence down there last season, which is why Darger had to play there. All of a sudden, you have Darius Santee, a junior. He won a JC national championship. You have Bryce Masamba from 6'10", big kid from Sweden via Finley Prep. So you're thinking there's a low post presence this year. You're thinking that'll be fine.
Don't forget, Biaz Hamka.
I did forget.
Already?
Biaz, come back. Anyway, the point is we're now at a stretch of the season where experimentation is over, and I think what we saw tonight in the starting lineup without Darius Santee is more than just a minor statement by Coach Lon Kruger. Right. You know, let me ask you guys, what do you think in the past four games total that Santee and Masamba have combined for points and rebounds?
You know, I don't know, but I know you've got it because you've got everything in that notebook of yours. I know you're going to tell us.
We're doing a little Karnak here.
That thing is awesome. That thing is everything you want to know about UNLV basketball.
You young fellas out there got to put on YouTube and check out Johnny Carson and Karnak. Anyway, to cut to the chase, in the past four games,
I don't get a guess?
Yes.
26.
26 what?
Combined. Points. No, that's too many.
No.
18 combined points and rebounds.
No. Separately. Points and how many points and how many rebounds? 4.
16 points, 9 rebounds.
You're going to love
it. Let me take a guess. I'm going to say not nearly enough of either. Is that close?
I think your guess better than mine.
I love how you're specific. Pacific? No. We have a total of 11 points and 8 boards the past 4 games. So you're looking at some guys who are not getting it done. And guess what? Here's the pine.
I think small ball is here.
Which we've seen the past couple weeks
it's
anyway.
It's leading up to that, but it's almost like, you know, Santee has started. It's almost like, you know, maybe a little lip service to him. And, you know, some guys, a lot of coaches do that. They have a guy that they like more on the bench, but they won't. I mean, who's the big skinny kid that Utah starts? He plays 5 minutes, and then he sits mm-hmm. and watches the rest of the game. I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, and they bring in, the redhead guy's been there forever. God, I'm getting old. I'm in New Mexico now.
You're in the ballpark.
I threw you a curve by saying, Bia's come back.
It totally messed me up because that song. Why don't you sing the rest of it?
I can't, but we got to let Ron and the listeners in on a little joke. Over the past 3-4 weeks, we have been applying Bia's to certain songs, and it some of them fit. You know, I don't know. Can we even get into it?
I'd rather not.
Let's not stray.
It's just not fair.
Yeah,
it's fair. Just not fair.
No,
but anyway. But before we go a little deeper into this game, let's get some post-game comments from Lon Kruger, Rene Rougeau, Joe Darger, Wink Adams. Here's what they had to say following tonight's 73-69 letdown in the pit, guys.
Big-time battle. We just have to figure out a way to make some play the critical times to get us on the right side of the scoreboard. Credit New Mexico. Dandridge was tough with it there late and made a lot of good plays and I thought our guys battled and just again came up short. You always hate that. I mean, that's obviously going to affect the scoreboard and the fact that Renee's out. You know, so you not only has 2 points, it's Renee's instead of having 4, he's got 5.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. You know, definitely put the blame on me for sure. You know, got to play a lot smarter than that. You know, probably could have won that game if I don't get that technical foul. Yes, just keep. Teed me up for, getting in his face. You know, I didn't say, anything foul to him. But basically, you just got to be smart and walk away from it. You know, it's just tough when, you're trying to go for every rebound, but that's how it goes sometimes. Probably the hardest thing ever, to be honest with you. Felt like, it was like, can't even help the team right now. So I definitely let the team down.
We just got to get back to work and get better. We had a couple, 2 games in a row where we just didn't get enough stops. You got to realize that every possession counts, and go out there and each of these games can end in one possession, and didn't go in our favor. So we just got to get back to work and try to take care of business earlier on. We've had a couple good looks, but we just weren't getting them to go our way. So we just got to be stronger, especially on the road. We're not going to get those calls. We kind of felt like Mo got fouled a little bit, but it's tough to get that call at somebody else's house. So, we executed the play well, and Mo got in there and took a good shot and didn't go. So, we just can't let it come down to that last possession. We got to put the game away earlier.
Yeah, definitely. Practice those shots all the time. Did a great job defending. Felt good. Just kind of short on a little bit and missed the rim. It's always tough. You always want to be the guy who hits the shot, but, sometimes they fall, sometimes they don't. So, definitely just got to, get some shots up and get ready for the next game. It's tough because, they could have went a whole nother way, if we just hit some shots, down the stretch. And, 2 games in a row, we kind of missed some shots down the stretch. And free throws played a big part. So, we definitely got to get in the gym and put up some shots and some free throws. Yeah, when a big shot comes, I always want to be the guy taking. That's my role on this team. I want to be the guy, put the team on his shoulder. So, if I miss a shot, I can put the loss on my shoulders and just get better from it.
All right, well that's what they had to say. Let's we've already hit the Rene Rougeau technical foul nail all over on the head.
I got another interesting stat for you.
What do you got? You're just full of them.
For I'm full of something. For only the fifth time this season, UNLV shot 75% or better at the line. For the fifth time now. In those games, what do you think their record is?
4-0?
2-3.
No, 5. This was the fifth time.
Okay. I'm going to say 2-3.
I'll say 4-1.
4-1. Hmm. Four previous times they had shot 75% at the line or better, and they won. This is the first time, and they shot exactly 75%.
Well, however.
However, the Lobos shot, 84?
84. Exactly. And that's
free throw shooting.
And, Steve Alford said coming into this game, I mean, these were the two teams that ranked 7th and 8th in the league in free throw shooting. Whoever took care of business at the line, now, okay, 5 misses to 4, you got to look inside that a little bit. Wink Adams, for as great of a second half as he had for the most part, had three trips to the line in the second half, and he split on all three.
Wow.
And I know, you know, at the time you're thinking it's just a point, but that those points add up. And if you really look back on this game, at what point do you remember New Mexico missing a crucial free throw?
Yeah. I know, especially remember that. See, the technical thing doesn't become such a big turnaround if they don't
they
stash
all
four of those.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it, you know, again, I hate to use a bowling reference here because
oh,
of my because of my heritage, but. When you have a bowling match, when you're in a stepladder finals, you don't want spares. You want strikes. You know, so Rebels don't have enough strikes at the free throw line right now.
Yeah.
You know, here's the one thing. Of all the things I don't understand about college basketball, how a guy can be a great free throw shooter one year, and the next year he's not. And that's
Wink Adams.
Yeah. How do you explain it, you know? And
when you brought up bowling, I thought for sure you were going to say gutter ball. But you didn't.
No, because if you hit one out of, well, yeah, you hit one out of two, it's not a gutter ball. A gutter ball would be an air ball on a free throw.
Yeah.
And we've seen one of those this year, too.
Yeah.
But
yes.
Trevon threw up a gutter ball against somebody way back when.
Ryan, you spoke with Wink after the game, and you had some interesting observations just about how he carries himself. And you can talk about him. He's bulked up. This season, maybe that's thrown his game off. The three-point line is deeper, but you know what? He likes to shoot deep anyway. Maybe the ab strain kind of threw his game off a little bit, but all that rolled into a funnel, spit it out, and you had some interesting observations about him tonight.
He's still he's maintained this even keel the entire season, and you know, I kind of said to you, just listening back to the tape, I paused my tape and turned to you and said, you know, that's got to be maybe the most stand-up guy on this team. And there are some stand-up guys. Awesome. You know, Rene Rougeau is one, Joe Darger's one, but Wink Adams is right there with him. This is a guy who missed a potential game winner, who missed a game winner against San Diego State Tuesday night and missed two potential game winners tonight. Comes out and he spit out what I called in the story, the same company line that he's gone to. We just got to get in the gym, put up shots, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it's vanilla. It's not interesting, but, you know, he's not getting beat down mentally by all this because he's the kind of kid who I think really just looks at it at the end of the day and says, well, screw it, it's a basketball game.
You know, he can miss four more of these shots and I give it to him in the fifth game because he's just a guy.
And Darger
said
the same thing.
The game. I don't care how many he misses. He's the guy that you have to have confidence in. You know, you've seen him do it before. He's a gamer. You know what I like about him more? To me, maybe I'm wrong, and he seems more demonstrative. I mean, remember that he lost the handle on that one ball today in the lane, and he kind of lost the handle of it and it wound up in a turnover, and he was just, like, really mad at himself. I mean, he was working himself over, just like, I got to do better. He wasn't complaining about the call or anything. And I think that's his way of leading almost. You know, he maybe doesn't do it in
a
typical rah-rah
sense,
but he's getting more into these games than I've seen him recently. He wants to win, you know, so that's a good sign.
And he did hit some pretty big shots tonight.
He hit
clutch people in his face.
Scored 11 of their first 12, three step back shots. I mean, he was, and these weren't just makes. These were makes where he wasn't touching any rim.
Right.
But things just kind of fell apart for him. He missed his last five shots from the floor.
You know, he's getting frustrated because his patented move would be driving strongly into the paint, getting the foul. He's not getting as many of those fouls as he used to.
And there were a couple times tonight where we said, you know, boy, that's a call that he probably thought he was going to get.
Exactly.
There were two in the second half,
three guys just went at him really hard. He could have called any of them for foul, and he didn't get anything. And he just had to, you know, sprint down the other end and play a little defense.
Yeah, and, you know, we hated to come down. We hate to keep coming down on officiating, but, I mean,
they
you know, here's the thing. Tuesday night, 44 fouls called. There were just – our beef that night was, you know, it was consistent on both sides. It was just a ton of calls.
Yeah.
Tonight, 9 fewer, 35. But I think we can all agree here that it was a little less consistent tonight in terms of some things got away on one end that didn't on the other and then vice versa. And it just
But again, it wasn't like the refs hurt one team more than the other.
They're just not very good.
But they're not very good for both teams. You know, they didn't decide this game.
They were inconsistent on both sides.
Right. And it's been that way for a while now. And boy, I always try to catch myself. I hate to sound like, but you know, we're not really saying that they're favoring one team. They're just
not good.
You know, Bobby Deibler, who is the head of the Mountain West officials, he was at it was like two games. It wasn't at the San Diego State game. And I said, boy, if you'd have been here with these last two games, you'd have a notebook full of stuff. His notebook would have been bigger than yours had he watched one of these last two games. I know he's the head of officials, and I guess he's the one that has to file reports and based on what he sees. But I don't know. You know, how do you change this? You know, how do you make referees better? How do you get better referees? And you know, these are the guys that we have, and I don't know what the answer is, but you know, and it's easy to criticize officials, and like I said, I hate to do it, but these last two games, boy, they just, like Rob said during the game, it'd be nice just once to not notice the officials. That's the greatest compliment you can almost pay an official, but we've been noticing these guys a lot the last couple games.
Yeah.
I concur.
You're just going to leave it with a note comment.
I'm still winded from my 18-foot sprint.
Yeah. I think we should really address how, if you guys have any feel for, these are two tough losses. You know, it's almost, I don't know how you feel about it. Some people said, I'd rather get blown out. You know, it's like, we forget this game, move on to the next one. But, man, these are two games that you could have, maybe should have won, didn't get them done. Well, you know, how's that going to affect the, you know, the outlook of the team from here on?
You know, it's pretty ironic because I addressed that in an advanced story today. I just talked to Kruger after a recent practice just a couple days ago about that fine, slim margin between feeling really, really good about yourself and feeling really, really down about yourself as far as how you played. Did you win? Did you lose? If Mo Rutledge hits that shot at the end of regulation, boy, Rebels are feeling pretty darn good about themselves. You know, Wink hits that three-pointer Tuesday night. They're feeling real good about themselves.
They're 7-2 right now.
And Kruger addressed, just he's talked about it before. In fact, he sprang up on the subject and just said, it's just that fine little, it's a play, it's a shot, it's a second. It's that slim difference between winning and losing. And you got to credit Kruger because his top assistants who have known him for decades say that the best thing about him is, 5 minutes after a loss, you don't know whether they won or lost.
Right, right.
Because he's that even keeled.
See that again. Do you guys think now...
That rubs off on a team.
Yep.
Do you guys think now it's down to a matter of 3 days to March like it is so often with this team? Or do you...
Close.
You know,
I think it's right there. It absolutely is. Yeah. I mean, they get... The next two are TCU, Colorado State at home. Mm-hmm. You know, you never want to count a victory in your refrigerator, but... You know, you would think they would beat those two guys.
We thought they would in January,
well,
too.
A little different scenario. But I think that's what it is. In fact, I think 3 days in March is what it's going to come down to. It did the past two seasons, right. So why change it? Why make it any different? I wanted to find Steve Alford after the game tonight, and I just couldn't. I have no idea, but the cubby holes and the closets in that pit. It's such an old arena. I had no idea which staircase to go up and where they were or anything. Yeah. I wanted to ask him specifically about, he hadn't even played in this conference a season, and he was griping and moaning about the conference tournament being played in Las Vegas on not a neutral court. Right. Yet now one of the five courts that are being discussed as an option for the future is the pit. So I wanted to ask him the irony of, well, you want it on a neutral court, but what if it winds up in the pit? That's not exactly neutral, but I couldn't find him.
Right. It's hypocrisy.
Actually, I did see him. I turned around, and he walked past me, but his sports jacket, that red, it burned my retinas. And before I could wipe the tears from my eyes, he was gone. So it looked like he looked like an Avis. He looks like the guy's working the counter at Avis Rent-A-Car. Where did he get that sports
jacket? When I first saw him tonight, I thought he was going to run the receipt out to Ryan.
And they look like he wants some kind of bogus, like Nike Tour golf tournament. It gets the red jacket instead of the green one. What is that thing? Did he win a putt-putt tournament or what? Man, I think it's awful. He doesn't wear it on the road. He knows better, you know, because people would be unmerciful. But he breaks that thing out at home, you know. It's become part of just another tradition in New Mexico. They've got a lot of them. But,
what's worse, him in the red sport coat or Rick Pitino wearing the white suit last year?
The white suit was awful. I mean, remember those guys on ESPN? They were saying, wow, it's Colonel Sanders. They were going great. And he took it off at halftime. It was so god awful.
Well, because he was sweating through it.
Yeah, they were getting killed.
And what was the guy with the popsicle? Wasn't there the Good Humor Man, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't he wear all white?
He wore so white. I think one of the guys in ESPN called him Colonel Sanders. It was brutal, man. You know, but but they were laughing so hard. They were crying. It was unbelievable.
But I'll tell you what would be poetic is if at some point New Mexico and UNLV were to meet in the conference tournament in Vegas, because let's face it, we haven't determined who the better team is. You know,
no.
In Vegas, UNLV squeaks out a 2-point win. Here now, Lobos get a squeak out a 4-pointer and in overtime. Who's the better team? We don't know. And it would also be very poetic for Alford to finally play UNLV on its home court in the conference tournament, because as much griping as he did last year, his team didn't advance actually end up playing the Rebels on their own court in that conference tournament. So, you know, do that and then pop off.
Well, one thing about the conference tournament, usually there'll be like a close game. At some point you go, well, these two teams are probably going to play each other. You know, this would be a good, you know, they'll see each other down the line. But this year, there's so many. I'm kind of looking forward to conference tournament. That's gonna be some good games. These teams are so even right now, you know. And I still like I jumped on the Utes bandwagon a couple of weeks ago. I still kind of like them, but I mean that doesn't mean anything's gonna happen. But man, then you look at San Diego State and the Rebels. Obviously, they'd be there on any court. They'd be a factor, but they're really gonna be a factor at home as usual. And you look at Utah and these guys, New Mexico. They can D it up a little bit, you know. I mean, TCU, the first half of the year, I mean, you know, they're falling off a bit, you know. And
but you better not fall asleep against them.
Yeah, yeah. And who knows? You get, like, San Diego State, Wyoming running up and down the court, like at Sunset Park, and that game could be on a neutral court. That game could be up in the air.
Absolutely, yeah.
The reality of it is it's still a jumbled race with a lot of teams still alive, including UNLV. You know, you talked about the 3 days in March. I would say maybe right now the only way it doesn't come down to that is if by some chance they win out their last seven regular season games, you would think they'd be pretty safe going in. But, again, there's no reason to expect that right now.
No, I might be the minority here. I'm thinking three teams from the Mountain West are getting in this year. It's balanced enough, and college basketball overall is balanced enough where I think, if you have the team that won the regular season and won the conference tournament, then maybe you only get two. But let's say those are two different teams, and then because Utah and BYU are really, I don't know how much RPI counts for anything, but they're really solid, both those teams, you know.
Well, I think
those two are really strong to get in, and then you got San Diego and UNLV just right behind, or a half step behind those two, you know. So
I think we saw 2 years ago what RPI means, you know, when UNLV had a 10 and wasn't exactly treated pretty well, you know, when they went and played Georgia Tech at Chicago.
Yeah, maybe that's an NCAA bias, and you know that's what a lot of people back home think, that it goes back to the TARP days. Like, you know, you're not going to get any preferential treatment when it comes to tourney time because of things that happened way in the past. So. Yeah.
Well, we're getting ahead to the conference tournament, maybe jumping the gun a little bit, but I guess before we get out of here, let's take a look at the next week really quick for the Rebels. All right, you know, we've made it sound like these are two games coming up against TCU and Colorado State that they should win. Quick prediction, are they going 2-0 this week?
You know, should win, will win, I think is a pretty safe bet. But, boy, these games, they need a little home cooking right now. So these two games, like two very winnable games at home, these two games are coming along at the right time. They need something good to happen. So need a couple W's right now. So I think this is what you want. Playing these two teams that you should be able to handle in your building. So.
I mean, I think it's pretty simple. Yeah, you have two teams that you have reason to get up and play both of them because you lost to both of them. And you can – I think you just got to worry about baby steps, you know. Let's atone for those two losses and then see where it goes and just, you know – I think, Ryan, you said it best when you got the feeling from Wink that, you know, these guys don't live and die with every loss and victory. No. You know, it's much more even-keeled. And
they're not crying in their Cheerios right now.
Right.
Yeah.
So you know what? Kids are resilient.
Yep. And they'll be we're expecting them to be resilient this
week. I think, too, it's a challenge for UNLV fans because, you know, the support's been great here since they got in the conference season. Man, 14,000, 15,000 every game. And we saw a little bit about atmosphere, how important it is tonight. It's great atmosphere in this building. The place is packed. It was great college basketball atmosphere. Rebel fans have been great so far. You know, they get criticized sometimes for being fair weather fans. But now I think it's a challenge for them. They've had a tough home loss in front of a bunch of people, tough road loss tonight. But, you know, in the past, this is the kind of situation where people might take a step back and say, okay, they have to earn my support again. Well, you know, they've probably done that. They're a fun team to watch. They play hard. They're, you know, this is kind of a challenge. I think, people people feed off that energy. Players feed off the energy, you know, and there was great energy in building the night. And so I think this is a challenge for fans, too, to see, to make a statement that, hey, we're going to stay behind this team and, take, you know, be right there with them down the stretch, you know. So.
All right, gentlemen. Well, any final comments before we get out of here? Rob, you want to take another run at that ramp? You want to go break into the pit really quick before we go to sleep? What do you, any?
I'm definitely going to increase my workouts on the 60-yard ramps. Okay. You watch it next time, young
fella.
Ready.
You be ready for next year, because I'm gonna paste reminders on your desk every day.
I have one more thing to say. Huh. B.S., come back.
They don't want him right now. Trust me. Ronnie, anything?
I'm out. I'm going to go look shopping for a red sports jacket tomorrow. I like the way Alfred's looks.
Mountain West tournament's when that one's coming out, isn't it?
I'm gonna get the patch that says Avis on it. I mean, I'm going all out, man, and I'm gonna wear this watch. But you know,
listeners, please hold him to this, please.
But where can you get one of those? You ever seen one? I haven't seen. You know, what is the challenge? Even find one of those?
You need to win a chili cook-off.
Oh, man. All right. Well, this gets any more out of hand. For Ron Kantowski, Rob Mish, I'm Ryan Green. We will talk to you.
P.S. come back
on Tuesday night. Take care.